Shachar Razani, and in the news, Israel at war and the implications right here on U.S. college campuses. The war rages on in Israel, both in the north, where the Islamic regime's proxy Hezbollah is targeting towns, villages, and homes with homicide drones and rockets, and also in the south, where Israel continues to strike Hamas terrorists while providing humanitarian aid to Palestinians. Anti-Israel encampments have been set up at various universities across the U.S. in support of terrorist organization Hamas. Unbelievable. Many of them have been taken down, thankfully, as they were engulfed with violence against Jews, anti-Semitic harassments, defacing of university property, and of course, the disruption of access to school facilities for those students who attend university, well, to study. Yes, some actually go to college to do that. Over the past week, as anti-US slogans have been heard in those pro-terror demonstrations, while flags of the US had been taken down, these mobs representing the loud minority faced resistance from the silent majority, which seems to have awoken among whom students, people who stood up for Western values and to prevent further interruption by these forces. This includes the booing mobs who interrupted graduation at the University of Michigan, as well as confrontations on various campuses around the U.S., including Mississippi, Chicago, and North Carolina, of students who waved the American flag against those pro-terror mobs. So what does it all look like on the ground for the ordinary student who supports Israel, the U.S., and just wants to go about their business, their lives? I am thrilled to have with us today Natalia Rojas. She's a third-year Colombian-American student. She's studying international development studies. She's not Jewish, yet she's an avid supporter of Israel at UCLA and a board member of SSI, Students Supporting Israel, on campus. Natalia, it's such a pleasure to be speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Shahar. Thank you for having me today.
You know, I'm excited to have you, but first of all, I want to give our viewers a chance to get to know you. You're not Jewish, like I said, you're not Israeli. So tell us a little bit about your background. What brought you to where you are now, to stand by Israel and being such an ardent Zionist?
So my family comes from Colombia. I am a first generation Colombian American. And throughout my time in high school, when I was younger, I noticed a lot of anti-Semitism, and I've always had a close relationship with those of the Jewish community. And I did my own research on both sides to see what was true, what was false. And truly, I came to see that my values align with the Zionist ideals and found myself supporting Israel and the Jewish people.
You know, I want to ask you bluntly, because this is a reality that is faced by so many students. You're saying that you went with the moral position, which is clear to me, but sometimes isn't it more fashionable to go along with the anti-US, anti-Israel movement on campus? Won't that make you more popular, make your life easier? And yet you didn't make that choice. How did that come about?
Yes, it would make my life easier because it is trendy. Every student my age is going with an anti-American standpoint, and it would be more trendy, but I know what is right, and I feel like I'm doing the right thing, and I will stand by that regardless if that doesn't make me popular.
Well, kudos to you. Truly admirable. We mentioned that right now you are on your third year.
Yes, I am.
Let's talk before October 7th. When did the support for Israel begin for you?
For me, I really started to show my support for Israel right when I started university. Once I started here at UCLA, I found SSI, I found BFI, and I started to get involved
Bruins for Israel and SSI Students for Israel. Supporting Israel.
Yes, Students for Israel.
For the sake of our viewers who are not as familiar with the campus organizations.
Yes. I started to get more familiar with them. And over time, especially in my second year, is really when I started to take an active position within SSI. And I started to truly support Israel. And I've continued to do so till this day.
Tell me about your family, your mom, dad. Do they have any position on this issue? And how did they react to your activism?
My parents have been very supportive of my activism. I show them pictures, videos. I make sure that I also inform them because there is, of course, a media war, and they have spoken to me asking for information, asking about what's true and what's false regarding what they see on the news between the war in Israel. And I try to give them the best information that I can, but they don't necessarily take a strict position, but they are very supportive and proud of me for taking the position that I have.
That is beautiful to hear. Tell me a little bit about the doing what you do and being who you are before October 7th and after October 7th.
So before October 7th, there were rallies and events, but it wasn't as I personally did not notice a grand amount of anti-Semitism as much of as I've seen post October 7th. Before, it would just be a little, and that's something that unfortunately I was used to, and I know that my close friends were also used to as well. But post October 7th, there was a big shift. There was you could really notice the environment shift, and there was a huge amount of anti-Semitism that continued throughout after October 7th.
I want to run an idea by you because I've also noticed this from, my old time position of doing this for a while. And what I have seen shifting was a shift between the covering up the issue using political arguments when it comes to Israel and the Palestinians. And post October 7th, they're much more brazen in putting up the real arguments, which is that it's not about Jerusalem, it's not about settlements, it's about the very existence of the Jewish state. Is this what you see as well?
Yes, this is exactly what I see as well. I believe that Israel is a land for the Jews and the Jewish people, and the wanting to take away Israel from the Jews is clearly anti-Semitic. And you really, after October 7th, saw the narrative completely like shift and grow into this
It's like
monster.
every other people, every other nation on earth, which is right, a liberal progressive point of view deserves a homeland. Only when it comes to the Jews, they're the only one who don't deserve their homeland, Jews from Judea. It's quite hypocritical. Natalia, tell me about October 7th. How did you find out? What was it? Do you remember that day?
I do remember that day, October 7th. I was with my close friends who are also Israeli, and I remember that one of my friends came out, and she was crying, and she was showing me videos, and she was showing me pictures of what was going on, and she was frantically calling her entire family that is mostly in Israel, and it was very hard to see somebody I'm very close to suffer that much because of October 7th and be so worried and frantic and in such a distress. And I really truly do remember seeing all of the horrific things on the news, on my phone, on like social media platforms. And I remember I also as well cried. I couldn't believe something like this could happen. Like, it really made me question what world do we live in, because there's no way that this could be fair. And then to see that the narrative was flipped for the pro-Palestinian cause, I don't know how you could even do that. Like, the amount of people that were murdered senselessly, or the hostages that are still like kidnapped, they're still hostages till this day. And it's been several months now. I just can't fathom that.
That I completely, you echo my emotions exactly, especially at the time you and I are having this conversation, is around the Israeli commemorative days of Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, and then, of course, to be followed the week after with the memorial service for fallen soldiers and victims of terror, and of course, Israel's holiday of the Day of Independence. And we ask ourselves, that commitment to never again, never to see a genocidal act against the Jewish people. And sadly, tragically, we have seen it in our generation not too long ago. So I want to go down to some of the events that transpired at UCLA in the past few weeks. Tell us a little bit about the campus climate in the past few weeks with the encampment, before the encampment, during the encampment, and hopefully after the encampment. What does it feel like to be on campus now?
Right now, to be on campus, well, clear, glad, like good, everything has been cleared out. But earlier on, there was a lot of tensions rising. I know that SSI had done several rallies in support of Israel, but it was very passive. It was just a peaceful rally. And I had noticed a lot of the pro-Palestinian movement at this university had been combating back because of the rallies. And then I started to notice that other universities were doing the encampments, such as Columbia and NYU, which were one of the first ones to start. And I honestly, maybe this is me naively thinking, didn't think it would get that far at this university. But before I knew it, one day I was on campus and there was encampments. I genuinely didn't know that day that when I went to campus, there was going to be encampments on most of the Roy Quad, which is where the encampments were mainly held. I had no idea that that was going to be there. I'm sure there's more students in the population that didn't know either. I just saw the encampments, and immediately from the first day when I saw them, I was very intimidated. Although when it first started, it was four, maybe six tents. It wasn't as big as it escalated to at that point. But regardless, I saw all the barricades, I saw all the posters, I saw all the swastikas, and I felt immediately intimidated. And I was really starting to question myself and the university, because it's like, how can this be allowed on a in like the United States? How can this be allowed? How can this be something that's going on? Really, I started to question a lot of things regarding the university and, like, honestly, the world that we live in. And the tension and the intimidation that I felt as a non-Jewish, as a non-Israeli person
No,
is
to be
scary.
honest, I really do think that being Jewish or Israeli has very little to do. I mean, it has a lot to do with their hatred, but it has very little to do with the standing up for justice and decency, like any ordinary, not just American, any ordinary human being who looks at the situation. You were mentioning posters that you saw in the encampment and intimidation. For the sake of our viewers, describe a little bit about that intimidation. What intimidated you? What specifics did you encounter that caused those feelings within you?
For example, the first day there wasn't anything that was closed off. By the second day of the encampments, three of the entryways at the university were barricaded, closed.
By them,
And
by
by
those
them, yes, there
ceremonies.
was UCLA, the campus security, that was just idly standing by. But mainly who was policing the barricades were these students or people, I couldn't tell. With masks, glasses, faces fully covered. You couldn't tell who they are, patrolling like vigilantes, walking back and forth.
Wait, Natalia, you're talking about public pathways within the university. That's public property that was blocked off, right?
Yes, it
And
was.
people, so who was able to use those pathways? Was it blocked for everyone? How did that work?
It wasn't necessary, it was not blocked for everyone. You were allowed to enter if you were part of the encampment, but if you were not part of the encampment and you were just a student at the university, you could not go through the barricades. I there
And
was
the campus security was just standing idly by
Yes.
while the public domain was blocked by the pro-terror mobs,
Yes.
preventing the ordinary usage of it by tuition-paying students, and yet they did nothing about this.
Yes, and as the days continued, the matter only escalated more, where because the encampment grew larger and started taking over more of the campus and started closing more walkways. And I truly felt the most intimidation was when I was attempting to go into the library, where I was stopped and I was told that I need to fill out a Google form with the agreeing with the pro-Palestinian movement. And then I would get a yellow wristband once I had somebody from inside of the encampment vouch for me. And I found that completely unfair as a tuition-paying student who deserves to be on this university just like
Wants
anybody
access
else.
to the library for his studies.
Yes, this encampment took place in week 5, which week 5 here is midterms week. I have papers, I have exams, I'm sure other students do as well. And it's completely unfair. And I was baffled to see that I was being policed by my own peers, which I could have had in my other classes a couple weeks ago. And now they're policing me, telling me I can't go in when I have every right to.
There is only one suggestions I want to make to you, Natalia. A lot of people use those terms pro-Palestinian demonstrations, and in my humble opinion, if you're truly pro-Palestinian, then you want Hamas's regime of terror to end in the Gaza Strip if the region is to move to any kind of different future. So to me, that it's always been the pro-terror, pro-Hamas mobs, but I really understand. I really hear your distress. And you mentioned a couple of posters. What was on those posters? Can you describe?
There was a poster that the saying Israelis are native to hell. There was posters saying
To
Israelis
hell.
equal to he native to hell. There was posters saying Israelis with like an equal sign and the swastika. There was like, for example, they had the Star of David on the floor, and then with the writing says step here. That's blatant and clear as day, anti-Semitism.
Wow.
There were a lot of posters of like of those sent against Israel, against Israelis, against the Jewish people.
It's very difficult for me to hear this, Natalia. I mean, in this day and age, this is something that we've been fighting for so many years. We've been seeing it, not just on college campuses, but they've always at least made an attempt to hide it by using political arguments, claiming that these are only anti-Zionist issues. And suddenly you see signs like by any means necessary, in which they're actually justifying the rape of young girls and women by the barbarian Hamas vile organization, the way they've done on October 7th, and exactly the way they promised to do again and again and again. So you were mentioning access to the library. So this really had an effect on your education, your ability to complete your coursework.
And honestly, it did. And it was also affected my classes before they were canceled or moved onto online. Teachers would speak about it during the courses as well. And overall, this did affect like my education, access to the library, my actual coursework were affected.
Have you witnessed any violence, violent acts against Jewish or pro-Israel, students or members of the community?
I unfortunately have. The days leading the night of April 30th was the night when there was extreme violence, and I wasn't on campus. But leading up to that day, there was a Jewish man, Israeli, pro-Israel, that was supporting Israel and was being taunted and chased with a girl with a taser from the pro-terror, pro-Hamas movement, and I find that completely despicable. When there, for example, there was a rally that following that Sunday, and at the rally, people got pepper sprayed on the pro-Israel side. People were getting verbally assaulted on the pro-Israel side, and there was more violence. It
Was there any presence of security forces to separate
there
groups?
there was security forces, but they stood idly by. There wasn't any involvement of them.
How? How is there no policing or code of conduct enforcement on the basic rules of engagement on one of the US's elite colleges? I can't. Do you have any idea?
I don't, but I remember when I had the library incidents, I did speak to one of the security guards because I was curious to know like what was the situation, and I asked them like, oh, like I want to get in through to the library, like how can I go in and everything, and they were like, oh, we're hired by UCLA, we're contracted by UCLA, and we cannot change the policy.
Amazing.
So this.
I just I'm just thinking to myself, had it been with any other minority, can you imagine students blocking the path for African American students or for American Asian students and doing anything like this, and for administration to stand idly by and uphold the peaceful, nonviolent demonstrations on campus? It's disgusting.
It's truly disgusting.
You were mentioning the faculty. Have you sensed any effect in class? Like, have your professors said anything about this in class?
They have said mentioned this, especially when classes were still going on while the encampments were up. I have had teachers I had a teacher that tried to, that finished class 15 to 20 minutes early because they wanted us to see the First Amendment in action and walk through the encampment. I politely told him that I will not be doing that and that I do not support this, and I left. But the fact that most of the students in my class did stay and did walk through the encampment is truly what is scary, because it's now being implemented into classes when my class really has nothing to do with the encampments.
So, Natalia, a lot of students that I speak to express fear for their grades, for their academic progression. If I don't do what the professor likes me to do, then they may, treat me not as well as I should be treated. How does that play in your mind?
In my mind, I have the you cannot in my mind when that happened in my class, the fifth leaving 15 to 20 minutes early, I have every right to be there as to not to be there. It's not required for the course, it's not required for the class, and you cannot force me to be there. So I would left the situation, but I understand like other students in the class maybe didn't feel like they could do that, but I have every right to. I know that I do.
You
So,
do.
I mean, I reassure myself with that thought, and I really don't have any fear regarding my grades or my classes because I know that they cannot make me.
You are definitely one of the more worthy UCLA graduates, and kudos to you for
Thank
your
you.
moral backbone. I mean, these principles will serve you well in life, and it's truly, truly impressive to listen to you, Natalia. So thank you on
Thank you so
behalf of
much.
all decent people out there for the positions that you're echoing that truly bring us all hope. You kept on mentioning security, administration, very passive, if not negative, to their contribution has been to this situation. How do you feel vis-a-vis the administration and security of the school, and the way they manage and continue to manage this entire episode in UCLA's history?
I feel that UCLA, the administration, and the security did not manage this problem or this situation well at all. It was extended long, be more than it needed to be. Didn't need to be there at all in the first place. It went on for too long, and that's why so much intimidation, so much tension ensued, so much hatred ensued. If the university would have had a stronger hand regarding its policies from the beginning and had security actually take some action and secure the students at the university, then we wouldn't be in the position that we are today.
Very true. I share the same critique that when university administrations allow this problem to fester, it becomes what it is. And at the same time, like I mentioned at the beginning, there is a sense that the silent majority is starting to wake up, that people begin to understand that this is not just about Israel and those vile terrorists. It's about the soul of America. It's about the soul of our society. It's about supporting terrorist organizations. Are you seeing such movement at UCLA from your fellow students, faculty, or community? Do you see some sort of an awakening or not so much?
I see an awakening, but not towards Israel. I really see that mainly people see it as a black and white issue when it is truly more a complex issue. And most people are really uneducated on the matter and take a stance because, oh, my friend's gonna go or it's trendy, but really don't know what they're standing for at all. So I'm not sure how much of an awakening it is. It might be more of like an unconscious mass mindset.
The truth is that there is a lot of ignorance, but to me it's always been a clear-cut issue when it comes, this has nothing to do with politics or intricate agreements on the international stage. This is about, do you support terror and murder or don't you? Do you support rape or don't you? And I really do hope that our students and general members of our society would be able to answer that not so difficult a question. What is your hope for the future? How do you see this moving forward?
My hope for the future is that the university rises this, and several students and parents and families have complained to the university. My hope is that they become to have a more forceful hand when it comes to this. I would hope that they would prioritize the well-being of their students and their ability to learn and to be in a learning environment, because at the end of the day, that's all what we're here for. And I would hope that is seen more as a priority and not as something pushed to the side.
Natalia, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. Your strength, your moral clarity, your courage, it's truly inspiring. I'm so happy I got a chance to have this conversation with you. And for the sake of all of our viewers who get to listen to your incredible voice as you're enlightening us and sharing your experiences with our viewers, I can't thank you enough for standing by justice, for standing by peace, for standing by the State of Israel, and by the United States of America. Your decency and moral clarity is, as I said, downright inspirational. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Shahar, for having me, and thank you for this opportunity. I really do appreciate it.
You know, it's truly wonderful getting to know you, and I hope to hear more and more from you as time goes on and things progress, and we are sure to hear of the great things that you are yet to do in your future. So thanks again,
Thank
and
you.
to all of you, our viewers, as you heard from Natalia, as the battle rages on, there are signs of clear hope. We have those students on college campuses who are not necessarily Israelis, who are not necessarily Jewish, who know to differentiate between good and evil. And that is something that we must never lose sight of. We would like to thank you for joining us, as we will continue to update you as things move forward in Israel and across the world. This is why we are here, and this is our commitment to you and our mission right here at JBS. As I always conclude, may we see better days, and may we see them soon with the coming of the hostages home. I am Shachar Azani, and thank you all for watching.